not captive to the Word of God. We choose to lean in and listen with ears to hear. We come with expectation. Open our eyes, open our ears, and help us to hear. We receive from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. If you'll, all right, praise the Lord. I do want us to, we're going to continue in a series, and I honestly don't know what the title of the series is yet. That's why if you go to our website and see it, it just says Extended Hands down there where often I put a series, because I don't know how to title this yet. But our goal, let me tell you what our goal is. It's actually to understand who we are, because we know who He is. If we know who He is, we're going to know who we are, and we want to begin to walk in the goodness of God. We want to walk in the call of God, the blessings of God. We want to be obedient to Him. And so in the last couple of weeks, I have brought you scripture to show us who we are as believers. As a believer, who are we? What is it we believe? What do we put our faith in? What do we put our confidence in? And what does that look like? So this morning, I'm asking, are you ready to receive revelation from God today? Will you hear from God today? Are you prepared to be arrested with the Word of God? Are you prepared to receive enlightenment? And I know the world uses these words, but I'm trying to help us. If you have an ear to hear, you will hear today. If you are willing to hear, here's the challenge we all think about. And I'll use me or someone related to me to help us understand this. When I was a child, okay, and this is scripture. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away my childish things, right? Now, we all know in our mind that we have to grow and that we want to learn more. If I only know limited, I'll use this. Most of us have some kind of smartphone of some device. And while I don't know everything that can be done on this, I use it. And I use it as much as I know how. And I use it to help me do things. I use it to help me make better decisions. I use it to help me be where I need to be. It's a Bible, like multiple translations, multiple Bible apps on it. And I don't know even how all those apps, you know, like run in there. I don't know all that goes on behind it. But I use it and I keep learning more about it. Am I making sense? All right? When I hear something and it's new knowledge, just before that, what was I? Wrong. I just didn't have the knowledge. But if I hear some new way, well, this last week I heard of a new way to use the Memo app on the iPhone. I had no idea there were some features available. Well, guess what? I now know. And guess what? I've set aside my old way of using the Memo app, and I have new and better ways to use the Memo app. How many of y'all know I'm not talking about the Memo app? See, as we get revelation of who God is and who we are, it's up to us to not just hear it, but to receive it, to believe it, to declare it, and walk it out. We have to learn that when we see and hear the promises of God, they're for us. And we get to live in them. We get to live by them. We get to live through them and all those things. So I want to take us to a very familiar promise to start with. But then I'm going to show you a whole lot around it that I don't think a lot of us have really considered. We know there's a Memo app on our iPhones, but we don't know all the details and all the neat things that can happen on the Memo app. And you still with me? Because I'm not really talking about the memo app, right? All right? So go with me to a very familiar passage, John chapter 14. And I want to start in verse 27. And yet this is just to see where we can all jump together. I want to know how familiar we are with this very familiar passage. So John 14 comes right before John 17. In my Bible, they're all connected. So John 14, look at verse 27 first. All right? Has anybody read this before? This is not a loaded question. Is anybody familiar with this passage? Has anybody ministered this passage to someone else? Have you prayed with somebody? Have you believed God with this passage and giving it, if you will, to somebody else? Have you said, hey, whoa, slow my roll, peace is with me? Have you implemented this? Because if you've given it to somebody else and you didn't implement it yourself, you missed an opportunity. That's like, well, there's a lot of illustrations. I probably better stay away and reel them in. Let's read it together, or I'll read it. You listen. We'll look at it on your Bible. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. How much of a revelation of this passage is to you? Is this something that rises up when there's a challenge, when there's a frustration, when there's fear or doubt or uncertainties in your life? Does this rise up? Now, these are loaded questions, and many of us are going, well, I don't know that that's the one that rises up. Okay, well, but look at this. This is a promise. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. So the world gives a peace that is not anything like the peace that Jesus leaves. Do you know the difference? Have you experienced the difference? Have you received the difference? Have you let the difference flow through you? All right? But how many of y'all know that there's a whole lot that comes before verse 27? Now, as I was preparing, as I knew on Monday night, I knew that I was going to speak on the love of the Father somehow, and the grace of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. I knew that. I knew on Monday night, but I didn't know how all was going to come together. But as I began to go through different passages this whole week, and just set my mind on the goodness of the Father. And I'm like, man, we all need to know how good the Father is. Well, I ran across a few scriptures, and for clarity's sake, I came all the way back to John 14. Now, I want us to look at verse 1 for a minute. We're going to get to 27, but there's a whole lot before there. But let's set the stage. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Have any of you shared that with a brother or sister in the Lord? When they come in and they're afraid, they're scared, a sibling, a child, and you say, fear not, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me? Now this is Jesus talking. We'll get there. All right, keep going. I got you shaking now. All right. Look at verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now look at this next phrase. I go to prepare a place for you. Has anybody, I mean, what revelation do you have of the scripture? Now, I know most of us have heard This is Jesus saying, I'm going to go and build you a mansion. I'm going to go and build you a mansion. Because let's read on. Let's read on. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, many of us have heard this. Let me read again. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And we have jumped off that cliff and we've stayed there. Thank you, brother. We have learned all about the mansion that Jesus said he was going to prepare for us. And many of us are very excited about said mansion. Okay? And we're like, okay, where's my mansion? Let's go see my mansion. Let's get to my mansion. Do you realize that is only a little bit of what's being said in this passage? There is so much more. There is so much more revelation in just these few verses because we haven't even gotten to verse 27. I don't know that we're going to make it there today by the looks and the responses I'm getting. Okay? But look at this. Jesus said in verse 2, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. There's another passage that God prepared a place for someone, and he even likened the someone as to Jesus. Does anybody remember what I'm talking about? I was vague. Do you remember in the book of Jonah? God said he prepared a fish for Jonah. Now, in our little minds and in our little worlds that we know, we have tried to figure out how a man lives in the belly of a well for 3 days. And we've tried to try to figure it out in our own reasoning. The key to it is that, thank you, man, she's good. Here it is. Now the Lord prepared a great fish. The key is the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. He didn't say he prepared a great fish to stick around for 7,000 years. He said he prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Jesus said, like Jonah, the Son of Man will be in the earth for 3 days and three nights. Where's the revelation here? Where's the faith? Where's the understanding that there's so much more to Scripture than this surface level thing going on? We still got to figure out what this piece is in verse 27. But this is where Jesus started. I go to prepare a place for you. And now let's read it. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. That's very similar to 27. You believe in God. He's saying you believe in the Father, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, notice this little word if. If I go, remember he could have changed his mind. Wouldn't have worked out so well for us. But he gave his life. He laid his life down. He chose to obey the Father. He chose to obey the command. You read that in the I think it's the last verse of that chapter. Don't go there right now. Mark it, and you can look at it later. It's like in one of the last two verses. He says, I obeyed the command of my father. So we'll get all the way to that. What we got to look here and begin to see is there's promises here that if we don't meditate and renew our thinking and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us some things, we just go right by some awesome promises. We go by some lifestyles. We go by some provision. There's provision in every one of these verses for our life right now. Now, look at where I read last. Verse 3, so let's look at 4. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now let's read on. Verse 5. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Now this is Thomas, and again, I remind you, when you see him, do not call him Doubting Thomas. That would be rude. You've doubted, and God didn't write it down in the book for you, for everybody else to know about. Amen? Come on, there you go. That's the right answer. Thank you, Jesus. So when you see Brother Thomas, just say, Brother Thomas, thank you for being a big brother and being faithful. And thank you for letting Jesus tell us your mistakes so we don't have to make the same ones. That's how you need to greet him. Okay? All right, just trying to help you out. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Now look at Jesus. Anytime Jesus said, you ought to pay attention, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How many of you have used this passage? How many of you have read this passage? How many of you have shared it with the lost? You've shared it with a loved one. You've shared it with someone. Says, nope, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You should not come to the Father but by me. And it just rotely just spewed it out. And had no idea the four verses that came before it. The platform that verse sets on. That verse sets on the other four verses. Yes, it's standalone, but it sets on the other four. And when you start looking at what Jesus is talking about, and he says, you do know the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. Except through me. I'm sure other translations say it but by me, but that's all right. It's except by me in the one we're reading. Now look at the next verse, verse 7. If you had known me. Who's he talking to? He's talking to a disciple. This is why they're called disciples. Disciples. Jesus is telling Thomas, our older brother in the faith, okay? If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, now listen, if Jesus is saying, and from now on, they just connected it to us. Does this make sense? All right? And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Now remember, Jesus is talking to 12 men. Jesus is in his earth suit at the time. The earth suit that God prepared for him. You should write that down. It's going to come back. The Holy Spirit's going to bring that back to your remembrance. Jesus is in his earth suit. And he's talking to his disciples, and he says, and you know him, and from now on, you know him and have seen him. There's faith in this. There's power in this. There's transformation for us today. But we have to have an ear to hear. We have to have an ear to hear and then a heart ready to go. Let go of what I was taught and grab a hold of what the Holy Spirit is saying right now. Build on, or put it away. Because maybe we were just in the ditch of the sweet by and by. Yes, it is going to be great when we all get to heaven. What a day it will be. All right. I'll let Gus sing to you the second verse later. Verse 8. Philip. Now, everybody know who Philip is, right? Philip's another disciple here. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Again, when you see our big brother Philip, just thank him. Thank him for his faithfulness to walk with Jesus. I assure you, Philip had to deal with more persecution than we have ever thought of. All right, enough there. Verse 9, Jesus said, have I been with you so long? Now look at this next part. And yet you do not know me? He's still talking to disciples. He's not talking to the lost people. He's not talking to the 5,000. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to Philip. And he says, have I been with you this long and yet you do not know me? How could anybody go to church their whole life and not know God? How could somebody show up every day to Jesus' disciple school and Jesus, a couple months in, a year in, well, we're in John 14. This is close to the end. We're about to have the day of reckoning. The crucifixion's coming up real quick. So this is 3 years in to discipleship university with Jesus himself. And he looks at one of the few faithful and says, have I been with you so long and yet you do not know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So what did they see? Now Jesus is in his earth suit and he says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Oh yeah, I'm setting him up. Think about this. How does this change our lives? Will you get revelation from this? Now let's keep reading. Yet you do not know me, Philip. You do not know me, Philip. He questions Philip. Next part. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus says, how can you say that? How can you say, show us the Father? You know, if Jesus is saying, don't ask a dumb question, maybe we should not ask a dumb question. I don't know. But keep going. Let's read it. We're going to learn something. Do you not believe? Now, here is a good one. Look at this. Look at verse 10 with me. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? He's asking Philip, after 3 years of discipleship school, day in and day out, thousands of people healed, demons cast out of people, people they knew. Philip was probably there when Mary Magdalene got delivered. Philip was probably there when, what's his name, raised from the dead, Lazarus. Yeah, there we go. Philip's seen a few things. And yet Jesus says, do you not believe? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Now look at the next part. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Now, this is still Jesus talking. And he's speaking some love. But the Father who dwells in me does the work. There's some key words here. The Father who dwells in me does the work. Next part. I do not speak on my own authority. I read that, didn't I? Yep, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Now, he's telling Philip, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father's in me. Do we believe that the Father was in Jesus and Jesus was in the Father? Do we believe that? If we believe that, how does that change? It's right here. It's in red. This has got to be in the important stuff. I grew up in church, read the red and believe for the rest or something like that. Just read the red. Skip everything else, but that'll get you in trouble. But anyway, where did I leave off? I read 11. Read 11 again. Believe in me. Yep, I did. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe for the sake of the works themselves. Let's look at verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you. This is a nice way of saying pay attention. In the 80s we would have said for sure, for sure. Truly, truly. Okay. He says, what verse was I in? I'm still in 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Anybody read that one before? See, we've read that one, but we missed all the ones in front of it. Did we read that one and not pay attention to anything that this stands on? Because look at where he got to. And we're still not to verse 27 about the peace. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Do you believe that if you believe in Jesus, the works that Jesus did, you will do also? What are you waiting on? What do those works look like? When do you start doing them? Well, let's find out, because Jesus isn't done. Let's not take one and jump in a ditch. Does that make sense? Let's keep reading and get revelation. Let our eyes be open. Believe God and hear the voice of God today. He's going to change your life. All right? Well, what verse am I at? And whatever, verse 13. Nope, I didn't finish the other. He will do also. And greater works than these he will do. Greater works. Because I go to the Father. So not only does Jesus say, if you believe in me and the works that I do, you'll do. And greater works. Now, a lot of us have tried to figure out the greater works, but we ain't even figured out the first works. We should probably figure out the first works before we try to figure out the greater works. That would be like jumping in and taking verse 12 without verses 1 through 11. That makes sense? All right. Verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name. Now, I know a lot of people have jumped off the cliff on this one. They left out verse 12. They didn't go to verse 14. This is all a package. This is all a teaching to Philip and disciples. And we're right before the end. We're just before the crucifixion. And he's talking very bluntly to the disciples, whom we are. We are disciples, right? So will we let Jesus talk very bluntly to us? Will we let the Spirit of God who lives in us talk very bluntly to us and help us grow? Or are we just waiting to get to our mansion in the suite by and by? We just want to escape and get out because things are getting rough and the world's coming to an end. We don't even know what that looks like, ladies and gentlemen. These people face dark of dark. Literally. Dark of dark. Dark. For 3 days. Dark. And at this point, when Jesus died, you realize there was no light on the earth anymore? Think about it. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He's dead. He's in hell. So all the people on the earth are what? In dark. Read on. Boy, I got you. All right. This is getting good. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Notice who's getting glory. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Well, what does that have to do with me today? We're going to get there. We're trying to get to verse 27. There's a whole lot going on. It's all going to connect, I promise. Verse 15. Oh, I got to move faster. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, we've all quoted that to people. We've looked at it and we said, man, I need to love Jesus more and keep his commandments. And we've told, if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. He said, thou shalt not lie. Hallelujah. Let's read on. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you. What is that word? Forever. Now, this is Jesus talking. Remember, he's about to leave. He's telling us not to be afraid, not to grow weary, not to let fear settle in. In a little bit, he's going to say, I leave peace. But before that, he says, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper. And that helper will be with you until the King James Bible is written. Oh, no, that's not in there. But that's a ditch that many have fallen into. Forever. Verse 17. The Spirit of truth. Whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. An unbeliever cannot receive the Spirit of God. They don't see him. They don't understand him. Because they have not been born again. Until they're born again, they shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Until they're born again, they can't see the kingdom of heaven. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. That know him is the same intimate Adam knew Eve. Earlier he said, I've been with you so long and yet you do not know me. Same word, intimacy, relationship, time spent, face to face. Thank you, Jesus, for revelation. The world cannot receive because it neither knows him, but you know him. Now look at Jesus said, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and here's a promise, and he will be in you. He dwells with you, and he will be in you. He just told his disciples that you know him, because he dwells with you. How many of them went, and they didn't write it down for us, but I don't know. We got to this place because one went, how do we know? How would we know? Tell us the way. Show us the Father. I'm sure somebody in the crowd went, he's with us? I ain't seen him. You seen him? Mm-hmm. Because I meet these people all the time. He dwells with you and he will be in you. In verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. Jesus is telling his disciples. Now, listen, his disciples had not been born again. There was no being born again yet. They had not been born of the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God, because the incorruptible seed had not died and defeated death and hell, right? He had not come back. He had not been to the Father to cover over. The Father had not yet in reality forgiven us of all our sin because the price had not been paid. Does that make sense? So these people have not been born again. But look what he says. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now this is where it starts getting good. I will come to you. We're still building to 27. All right, look at 19. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. Look what he says. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. Now, the world will see me no more. What is he talking about? The world. He didn't even say this generation. He didn't say your friends and family. He said the world will see me no more. But he had just said, I will not leave you as orphans. And he said, I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Now look at this next. You should write this. You should mark this next line. Because I live, you will live also. There's a key here. Because I live, you will live also. This is how we get eternal life. We're still trying to figure out what eternal life is, ladies and gentlemen. Eternal life is not in the sweet by and by. It's knowing God and the Son. That's what eternal life is. John 17:3. I will not go there in the name of Jesus. Because we will never get done with this chapter. Where did I leave off? 20. All right, here we go. This is one I've been waiting for. I really wanted to start in 20. So we got here. Look at this. Look at 20. At that day, you will know. You will know. That I, this is Jesus, am in my Father. This is Jesus talking. He's in his earth suit. And he says, on that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me. You guys see it? Did I read it right? Because sometimes I dyslexic things. Do you guys see this? I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Don't just race by this. This is a promise. Jesus said, in that day, in what day? Well, the day a little longer, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. So when the world can no longer see me, you will see me. Because I live, you live also. And that you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now here's one we quote. He who keeps my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. But that comes after verse 20. Don't just go to 21, get back to 20. There's revelation here. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you're in me, and I am in you. And Jesus is in his physical earth suit right there. Okay? And he's telling them this. Is this life? Jesus says, my words are spirit, and they are life. So there's spirit and life in these words. If they're not spirit and life to you, let go of the past and grab a hold of what he's saying right now. Let this become part of a revelation. Let it be a part of illumination of God's word, of the relationship that we have with him. He told Philip, you will know that I am in the Father and you're in me. Anybody got a $100 bill I could borrow for a minute? Nobody? Nobody brought it? Oh, thank you. Could I have that? I can borrow it. Bring it here. Anybody got a 50 I can borrow? I'm not taking up an offering. I'll give it back. How many of y'all know, you realize that this is a $100 bill? But inside this $100 bill, there's a 50. There you go. And inside this $100 bill, there's four, five, 20s. I was going to say four quarters, but five 20s. Jesus told his disciples in that day, you will know. Isn't that what it says? You will know that I am in the Father, and you're in me, and I am in you. I might need that again in a minute. It does belong to Josiah. We'll get it back to him. Let's look a little deeper. Verse 21. Oh, we read that, but let's keep going. He who has my commandments and keeps them. Notice there's a difference between having and keeping, though. You can have them and not keep them. Most of us could quote a couple of the Ten Commandments. Most of us should be able to quote the two that Jesus said, going forth, this is the two. Love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your knothead neighbor as yourself. Knothead's for me. Knothead was my word, not his. All right? He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me, look at this, will be loved by my Father. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him. Now look here. And manifest myself to him. I will manifest myself to him. He who loves me and keeps my commandments, I will manifest myself to him. This was the other verse. So I told Sherry in the sound booth, listen, I'm either going to start with verse 20, or I'm going to start with verse 22, or 21, or 27. I don't know, but we got to get them all in there. Because if we don't understand what he said here, I will manifest myself to him. Look at Judas. Now notice it's not Judas Iscariot. It's important. And again, when you see Judas, recognize that this is not Judas Iscariot. He asked a question. Judas Iscariot said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world? And when was the last time you quoted that one to an unbelieving friend? I bet you none of us have. I'd have to repent because I think I have. They didn't like it. Look at what he said. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Should this make some sense to us? We are his children, right? You're a believer, right? You're a believer. Some of these might not be believers yet. I don't know. I'm going to have an altar call here. Judas says, how are you going to do this, Lord? How are you going to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Am I the only one that has asked this question? Come on. Well, let's read and find out. Because we're almost to verse 27. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Okay, that's not new. And my Father will love him. Don't go past that too fast. My Father will love him. Will we let the Father love us? Do you know there's times that we don't let the Father love us? I'll use me. Do you know there's been times in my life that I have not let my physical father love me? I didn't like what he was saying or doing, so I kept him away. I love you, Dad. I really do. And I've repented for those moments. But there was a time that I did not let my father love me. And How many of y'all know I'm not just talking about me and my earthly father? Right? Come on. What verse did I read last? I'm in 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Look at this next part. And we will come, and we, underline that, and we will come to him. Who? Come to who? The one keeping. The one letting the Father love them. He will come to, we will come to him and make our home with him. This is a promise. When was the last time we grabbed a hold of this promise? Lord, your word says that if I will keep your commandments, if I will love you, you and Jesus will come and make your home with me. Isn't that what that says? We have a promise that Jesus will come and make his home with us. But when was the last time we went, oh, wait a minute. Jesus is coming. Jesus is here. Maybe I should not have this in my life. Maybe I should not have this in my life. See, if I told you guys, now, I get it. I've been doing this for a minute or two. If somebody finds out the pastor's coming over, man. Enough said. Yeah, put the peas away. He will not want to eat them. That's right. Thank you, Gus. I will make my home, our home with him. Now look at the next part. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Read on. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, oh, another reference to the Holy Spirit. Looky here. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. There's a whole lot before the peace. And it's all about a relationship and understanding that God said through his Son Jesus that we are one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're one. And we will make our home with those who will let us. We looked at it last week, Revelation 19:3. Did I get it right this time? Or 3:19? I stand at the door and knock. It's one of those. I stand at the door and knock, and if any man opens the door, I will come in. See, that's a verse. We only give that to the lost. We give that to a lost person. Jesus was not talking to any lost people in this. He was talking to his disciples, and he said, have I been with you so long that you just don't know me? Have you just gotten comfortable? Have you forgotten that I've come to live with you, to make my home with you? I've come to make our home with you. And in knowing that Christ lives in us, the Father lives in us, the Spirit lives in us, should change everything we say and do. It should change everything. But here's the good or the bad. I don't know how to put it, but this is it. It doesn't happen overnight, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you, but I know, and I'm going to pick on Mark since he's on the front row. I know that if we ask Deb, Mark has not done everything right even today. As a good, God-fearing man, he has not done everything right. But God is still with him. Christ still lives in him. The Holy Spirit still lives in him. And it's up to Mark to follow the example of God's word, listen to the Holy Spirit, and allow the Holy Spirit to walk with him, to lead him, to guide him. And see, we've only begun this. We've only begun to take one promise that we've all quoted about peace be with you, but I bet you none of us said peace be with you because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are on the inside of you. And that's where we need to get. We need to be able to look at the body of Christ, the earth suit of Jesus on the earth. Because that's what we are now. We're his earth suit. He said, I will come and abide. John 15 talks about if you abide in me and I in you, if my word abides in you and you abide in my word. A lot of us know what it looks like to abide in his word. Now we need to figure out what it means for his word to abide in us. Amen? Let's stand. We could go on. We'll look at it some more later. I hope I've challenged you. I encourage you, please, go back to John 14. I promise there's more in there. I could not hit it all. I went as quick as I could. There is so much in there, these promises. And these are the very promises that Jesus said, I'm going to take you in. When he said, come out from amongst them and be separate, and I will be your God and you will be my people. We are his people. We are his people. And we want to abide with him. And when we begin to be his people, literally nothing is impossible. Because the things that seem to be impossible, it's because we just don't understand yet. We're at the wrong angle. We don't know something, and it probably means we don't know his word. Amen? Amen. Did you learn anything? All right. Were you blessed? Were you encouraged? All right. I thank you. Father, I thank you and I love you. I thank you for your word. And I thank you for opening our eyes today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We receive your word this morning, Lord. And we ask the Holy Spirit to put a guard around our heart and our life. Put a guard around our mouth. That we will not let the enemy steal the word that has been spoken to us. That we will not let the weeds and the tares, the deceitfulness of riches, the hunger for earthly things, we will not let the ways of this world steal the word of God from us. But we will allow the word to abide in us and us in your word, Lord. I thank you for your grace. And I thank you for your mercy. Lord, I know there's some this morning, right now, they're asking for mercy. And Lord, you are always merciful. You are always gracious. So we thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love somebody, encourage them. I don't know if Brother Caesar's done yet, so don't interrupt them until they come out. We want to honor them, and we'll prod them. Or somebody text them and let them know we're done. Oh, son, thank you.